4. The first sight of the stone forest was awe-inspiring. The rocky razor-edged tree-like formations were like nothing I'd ever witnessed before, and it took a while to comprehend what we were seeing. The trees were thick, the lemurs plentiful, but the wild species darted off at the sound of the truck's engine carrying through the dense forest.
"How did the forest come to be?"
Hunter asked Hussein as we gathered our supplies. The token's coordinates were 3 miles away, and our guide suspected it might take us all day to traverse the distance. Hussein shrugged.
"God created it."
The elevation increased beyond our location, rising with the stone trees. That was exactly what they looked like, rough, gray trees, almost like a forest of spruce that had been frozen into stone by Medusa. It also appeared deadly and impossible to navigate.
"We should have brought a copter in,"
Veronica said.
"Nowhere to land," Hadja told her.
"We don't need to land. I could have lowered our buddy Trip."
Veronica hefted her pack onto her shoulders and added an elastic to her long blonde hair, pulling it tightly into a tail.
"We'll keep that in mind for next time,"
Trip said with a smirk. He was in a good mood today, and I guess the layer of caution around him was lowering. We were becoming his squad, and now that we'd shared a meal around a fire and slept in tents on site, he considered us more of a team than he had the night before.
"This area looks unique," Marcus told me.
"Madagascar is much different. Islands often bring completely radical ecosystems with them," Veronica said. "Deciduous trees here will give way to wet limestone slabs farther into the valleys."
I glanced at Hussein, and he nodded his agreement.
"She is right. This is Singi de Bemera, and Singi means where one cannot walk barefoot."
My boots were broken in. They'd been on numerous adventures with me, and I hoped they'd stand up to the harsh hike we were about to endure.
"Mr. Madison, you should stay with Hadja,"
Hussein said, leaning against the side of the truck. Hunter looked at Trip.
"I think he might be right. I'll only slow you down, and my lungs. I know you want to reclaim this hidden article, but do you trust this man?"
Trip asked.
"I'll be fine."
Hunter seemed older today, and I wondered just what was wrong with his health. His handkerchief was out again, and he wiped his brow with the embroidered cloth.
"Someone else should stay put," Trip said. "Keep you company."
It was obvious that he was thinking we would have safety in numbers, but the two local guides didn't seem to care one way or the other.
"I vote for Veronica."
"No way." She crossed her arms, stepping toward the X-seal. "I'm fit and can do this hike in my sleep. My suggestion is the kid stays."
All eyes fell on Marcus, and he visibly relaxed.
"I'll hang here with Hunter Rex. You guys get what we came for, and I'll see you soon."
I reached into the back of Tripp's pack and pulled out a handgun, giving it to Marcus. I stared at Hadja to see his reaction, but he just shrugged.
"There will be no one to shoot with that, but if it helps you feel better, go for it."
Hadja lit a thin brown-papered cigar and smiled at me as he puffed it.
"Then it's settled. Time to go."
Hussein was the thinner of the two, but his size betrayed a certain evident strength. He pulled out an assortment of climbing gear and tossed shin guards at Trip, Veronica, and me.
"Put these on. A slip and your leg will be mangled."
We did as ordered, and I patted Marcus on the shoulder before taking the GPS.
"Good luck, team,"
Hunter said from the tailgate. His eyes were haunted, his posture rigid. There was so much riding on our mission, perhaps even farther reaching than my initial speculations. Selfishly, I wanted to see what had happened to my father, and the rest were invested for financial reasons. Hunter, on the other hand, wanted to see if his life's passion was real. Did aliens exist? And if so, did we really have the means on Earth to travel to another place to meet them? We might find out in a couple of weeks if everything went according to plan. The only issue was the last location that we'd found in the locker at the Caracas airport. Hunter's team was working on analyzing the skewed digits from the photograph, and while he was optimistic, I was more doubtful. With my backpack secured and my legs already warmer with the shin protection wrapped around my calves, I headed after Trip and Hussein, who'd taken the lead.
"I've always wanted to come to this region of the forest," Veronica said from beside me. Her cheeks were red from the heat, her forehead locked in a frown. "I even went so far as to request a private tour from a local, but it was definitely not in his comfort zone. No one wants to be caught trespassing out here.
Neither do I. It's funny. I've seen a lot of sites, mostly digs and previously explored ancient cultures, civilizations, but there's something special about places like the Stone Forest. Mysteries that seem to be created by the majestic Mother Earth. But in the long run, it's just lots of water, time, and erosion. I shielded my eyes from the sun as I stared toward the valley beyond. We could view some of the region ahead, but a few minutes later, once we crested the coverage of the forest around us, the area spread out beyond, wowing my every sense.
I see what you mean. Where are we going next?
Veronica asked casually. She'd taken the job without anyone sharing the details of the entire mission with her, and I assumed there was no real harm in revealing the location. Japan, I said.
Where?
Her voice lifted in excitement.
I miss good sushi.
I don't think there'll be time for that, but we'll finally get to see your helicopter skills in action, I told her, and she walked faster, trying to bridge the gap between Hasin and us. The ground began to grow exceedingly uneven as we started our descent into the park. This area was off limits, and there were none of the permanent steel rock-climbing ropes present. There would be no suspension bridges helping us across dangerous areas. The 3-mile hike looked like 100 from here. I saw the destination on the GPS and peered west to the target zone. 100-foot-tall limestone cliff stood between us and it, but Hasin didn't seem to care. There were still a few trees, most holding a lemur or two, watching us cautiously with their big eyes, occasionally calling a warning to their nearby friends. The entire area was dark gray, and as we lowered into the stone forest, the rocky ground became slicker with moisture. Veronica almost slipped as we rounded a bend, but I was there to catch her.
My hero,
she muttered sarcastically. Hurry up, Trip shouted from ahead. We found them stopped at the end of a flat walkway 10 minutes later, and Hasin muttered something in French that I didn't understand.
What's the issue?
Veronica asked.
The wall. There's an entrance up to the right, but the climb is steep, and the locals are picky about who they let inside, Hasin told us.
The locals? I asked. One of the ring-tailed lemurs stood at the entrance, running away as Trip walked closer to it. They were rarely a threat to harm a human unless given cause. Come on, let's get this over with. Trip started up the cliffside, and I saw what Hasin meant. The fissure ran along the limestone wall, but it had natural footholds in the edges, meaning we were able to move up the face in relative safety. There's no other way? I asked. Hasin shook his head and strapped a harness around his shoulders. He gave us each one and attached a link between himself and Trip, then to Veronica, with me at the tail end.
Won't this just pull us all to our deaths?
Veronica asked with a laugh.
It's safer this way, he said. Something happens, stop and plant your feet.
With that said, we began the ascent after I checked the GPS to see we were halfway to our target. I accepted Tripp's extended hand as we exited the crack in the limestone wall, and I lay on my back a moment, letting my heart rate slow with a few deep breaths.
That was incredible,
Veronica said. She was bent over, resting her hands on her thighs, and she smiled at me. I climbed to my feet and looked back in the direction we'd just emerged from. The stone forest covered a vast area, and I peered past the rocks to the forest, where Marcus would be waiting with Hunter and Haja. Any chance we'll be able to return before nightfall? I asked Hasin, and he nodded, surprising me.
Maybe. We have made good time.
The Malagasy man stretched his back and cracked his neck.
The trail is easier before it grows more difficult.
You've been here before? I asked.
Once.
I didn't press him. We took a brief break and I drank deeply from my canteen before stowing it. My protein bar went down quickly and soon we were on the trail, only a mile from the final destination. Trip lingered behind the guide and Veronica switched positions, chatting amiably with Hasin.
She's quite the piece of work, isn't she?
Trip's comment could have been rhetorical, but I answered anyway.
She sure is. How can someone be so chipper after a climb like that?
My own legs were tired, but the thought of obtaining a token fueled my motivation. Trip stared forward, his steps like robotic marches.
I don't trust her.
Why?
She just happened to be at the hotel, and she conveniently had an airplane secured on the coast. It doesn't add up.
he said. Why didn't you say anything? Marcus and I had discussed this exact thing, but it wasn't like we'd had time. I had a job to go home to, and Hunter was adamant we locate the tokens soon. I thought about the believers tracking me and remembered the dangers that awaited us if we failed.
Hunter wouldn't have listened. He's so hell-bent on finding this bridge, whatever that is. When this is done and you all realize it's been a huge waste of time and resources, let me buy you a beer and tell you where it went wrong,
he told me. Then why are you here?
I'm 49, Rex.
Trip looked older and younger at the same time.
What does that have to do with anything?
Everything. I've never slowed down, and Hunter has made it clear that if this mission is a success, I won't have to work another day in my life,
Trip told me.
And what does the future hold for Trip Davis? I asked, genuinely curious.
A thick white cloud slowly moved above us, giving us reprieve from the midday sunlight.
I'm going to buy a place along the Baltic Sea, fish, and grow a garden. Maybe meet a nice woman.
Sounds pretty great, I admitted.
What about you?
I have a job.
No plans for retirement? I've spent my entire existence taking orders from other people, and I finally want some freedom of choice. And maybe the odd nap on a hammock overlooking the ocean.
He laughed, the sound a little off-putting from the grizzled veteran. I wanted to know where my dad had gone off to, and after that the future was wide open.
I wouldn't mind tenure at a reputable school, maybe lecture on a circuit someday, but I'm also not finished with the thrill of the hunt.
You really love this stuff, don't you? Digging up lost artifacts.
Only when someone doesn't chase you down and steal your goods, I said, remembering who I was dealing with.
I thought that was water under the bridge. For the record, I didn't do anything illegal,
he told me. You paid off my guides and stole months off my life. I tried to maintain my composure, but dragging out our history was angering me.
As I said, it wasn't illegal there, Trip chuckled. Besides, it turned out that stuff was useless. My backer wasn't very pleased with me.
We found tools, that statue, coins, even, I said, dumbfounded.
Then the guides you hired scammed you. They must have swapped the goods without you noticing. I looked like a fool and you went home empty-handed. If it means anything, I am sorry. I've learned a lot in the last 8 years.
Trip stuck out his hand and I peered at the calloused palm. Fine, I shook it, gripping it tightly. But you definitely owe me a beer when this is finished.
Done.
If you two boys are done, I think you'd better see this,
Veronica said from ahead, and we arrived, staring into a dip in the rocky outcropping. A single dwarfed tree sat amidst the sharp, pointed limestone, a beacon to our destination. A gecko ran in front of my feet, and I watched as it headed for the open vegetation in the area. With a look at the GPS to confirm what I already knew, I smirked.
We're here.
Hussein slowed, apparently not wanting to get any closer, and I went first, deliberately traversing the uneven slope. It was slick, and I saw water funneling from higher up the ridge. It rolled across the rocks in a steady stream toward the tree. I stared at the sky, silently asking my father or Clayton why they'd chosen this location to have Luis hide the token. It was remote and extremely difficult to locate, and I doubted anyone would ever stumble across this exact tree, considering it was far from the public park. Only poachers, and a few of them at that, would have ever trod anywhere close. The tree was maybe 8 feet tall, with thin branches, the leaves light green. The gecko sat atop a branch trying to stay frozen as I crouched near the trunk, searching for a sign of the token. I was surprised to see the tree growing from the stone, and I noticed the limestone crumbling around it. I dug a finger near the trunk and felt damp dirt. Life always found a way, especially when there was a water source. Perhaps Luis had hidden this here and planted the tree. If it had been 30-something years, that would account for the small size, stunted growth in the infertile stone forest. Then Trip was beside me, his shadow blocking the sun from my face as I peered up at him.
Anything?
He asked, but there was nowhere to hide an object. It's not here, I muttered, finding a seated position.
Damn it,
Veronica said, sitting on the opposite side of the tree.
Hunter's going to be upset. He'll pay still, right? Will he want to continue on to the next site?
Her questions washed over me, but I had no answers as I observed the water flowing from the limestone peaks. It moved for the trunk and dripped into an opening. The gecko started to shift, and I lifted a hand slowly, indicating for Trip to stop fidgeting. The small creature's head tilted toward the sun, then it darted down the trunk, disappearing into the ground. "There's an opening," I exclaimed, shifting on my knees in front of the tree. The space was small, and my hand didn't fit inside.
"Want me to bust it out?"
Trip had his rifle poised, holding it as if to bash the ground with the butt end, but Veronica set a palm on it.
"You boys. Always trying to beat the answer out of things. Allow me."
Her sleeves were already rolled up, and she stuck her tongue out the corner of her mouth as she stretched her fist into the opening.
"Be careful. There could be rats or snakes."
I held my breath as her arm entered a foot or so into the ground, and her expression suggested it was empty. Then a smile broke, showcasing perfect teeth. She pulled her arm up and held a sack. It was beige burlap, like the one we'd found, the case inside. Surprisingly, she handed it to me without looking, a satisfied harumph escaping her lips. I was speechless and clutched the bag in my palm. It was heavier than I'd expected.
"Go on with it. What's inside?"
Trip asked, annoyed. The bag was cinched at the top, and I used a knife in my pocket to slice the sack, sliding the token out. It was hexagonal, as we'd known, the symbol embedded in its center, just as my father had mentioned in his journal. I stared at the dark metallic shape, remembering the entry of this particular find in the book Beverly had given me a few weeks ago.
September 17th, 1977. After 4 years, we've discovered the second piece. The trail grew cold for many months, but we managed to trace it to El Mirador. Its icon is strange, three circles within one another. Hardy still doesn't know how the objects were distributed by the celestial beings, only that they were placed on six different land masses. This one comes with more relief than the first, from Mozambique, but also more trepidation. One item implied something, a mystery, but two, it makes it real. Hardy's theory of the bridge is genuine. That much is evident. Clayton grows weary of the mission and talks of starting a family with his wife. I will continue with or without him and reinforce that with the funding of Hunter Madison. His children will never want for anything. I think I can convince him to side with me and to continue the search for the third article. There are times I wish S hadn't left our team, but it was necessary. We'll be departing the jungles of Guatemala post-haste, but one thing is clear. The bridge awaits. The three circles were as he'd described them. Three rings, each smaller than the previous.
"The bridge awaits," I mumbled.
"What? What's the bridge?"
Trip asked. "Never mind." I clutched the token and slipped it into my breast pocket where I could feel the weight of it against my chest. "Let's move. Hunter won't want to delay any longer." We had another piece of the puzzle. But I couldn't help but mirror my father's apprehension at the discovery.